Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Oh, welcome to News Burp, the show that trawls the internet for news and burps its essence in your general direction. My name is Matt, and him over there is Adam.
Why?
And this is episode number 254.
Yes.
And this week, I have stories about an ambulance who delivers a granny to the wrong house and then tucks her into bed. A monk has chopped off his own head for good luck in the afterlife. And a Canada man tries to dodge curfew by walking another man like a dog.
Oh, and I have a teenager who traded an old phone for a Porsche. And John Cleese apologized for offending white people.
John Cleese. Oh, I can't wait to get into that. I really can't.
Well, it's all tongue-in-cheek from him.
Yeah.
I think he's just sick of this whole cancel culture. Sorry, I thought it was going to be like that. Cancel culture.
Yeah.
I should probably explain, I got a tooth out today. And half my face is still numb. So I've been sipping water and been very careful. And now I'm wearing them on camera as well. I'm like, careful, careful.
Well, my face is always numb. I think you're going to do just fine.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. 254. I have 253 written down here, but I just remembered the last minute is 254.
It is 254.
What we want to do for 255, which is next episode, which is respond to some of your questions. So if you're listening to this and you've always wanted to know something about us or from us, or you want to say something to us or ask us a question or do anything like that, get it in, because we're doing our first ever listeners, readers' wives. Send us in topless pictures of your wife.
No. Jeez, that's the thing. It's a mailbag section. A mailbag.
Okay. Readers' send us in pictures of your dicks.
It's just like readers digest wives. What are we doing with our wives? Oh, digesting them. Brilliant.
Yeah. No, if you've ever wanted to get in touch, this is your chance. We'd like to spend like an episode talking to you, I suppose. I mean, we're just kind of talking at you now, but you know.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk to you via the mediums of sound and visual media.
Yeah. And you can get in touch. shout@thenewsburp.com is the email address. So you can get in touch with the contact form at the bottom of the website as well, thenewsburp.com. You'll also get us on Instagram, probably. We're still on Instagram? Well, I don't know. We are. It's probably at Newsburp on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, all the places. Drop us a comment. Get in touch. We'll read it out live, give you a shout out. Yeah, cool. So, 254. The reason I say 254 is because it's after 253.
You're right there. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything else about it.
It's all right, you don't need. We'll skip the number thing because it's an awful, awful thing to talk about.
Yeah, but that's just because it upsets you.
Yeah, you do. You upset me.
I tell you what, I don't know why you let it upset you. Why did you just go, yes, ma'am, okay?
Well, I do. I have done it now, which is why I'm skipping on it now. It's like, don't get stuck on it. Just, that's what I'm saying. What I noticed. Because you've moved house.
Yes.
In the past week. I noticed that our good friend Mason Sloan has also moved.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I noticed on Facebook, he's just like, oh, that dude has moved. And he seems happy out.
Nice.
So shout out to Mason Sloan. I hope all's happy and well in the new gaff.
Shout out to, I hope all is happy out. Incidentally, I invented happy out. as we clarified and confirmed in a previous episode.
Well, you told a story of how you said it, and you also said bad out, which just didn't catch on as much.
Well, you know, that's just because people tend to gravitate more towards positivity, which is why the happy out became more popular, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all right. I mean, think about it. If I had 10 cents for every time, like three had to pay me, if people had to pay me a royalty every time they said happy out, I'd be very happy out.
Good use, yeah. Yeah, you're paying yourself there.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. But I get a member's discount. So I don't have to pay full whack. Plus, there's like a yearly subscription available.
Yeah.
Where you can, you know, if you pay, it's $129.99 for 12 months. And then you can say happy out as often as you want it.
Fuck hell.
So you can sign up at thenewsburp.com for a happy out subscription.
I mean,
you can do it on the monthly with like a no contract cancel any time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it works out more expensive, so you're better off just getting the yearly thing.
You know? Oh yeah, I'm sure people will, as soon as they sign up, they'll just say, "How do you feel?" They go, "Let me tell you how I'm feeling. I am happy out."
Yeah, pays for itself.
Free. Don't pay for itself.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Incidentally, anyone who says happy out and doesn't have a subscription will be getting a cease and desist letter. Followed by an invoice.
Well, I look forward to mine because I've used Happy Out now 5 times.
Yeah. By the way, my subscription is managed by Getty Images. So as a result, your 5 mentions of Happy Out are going to cost you $25,000 each.
Oh.
Yeah, got to pay them their cut.
Okay, got to work on that Patreon then, don't we?
Do you know, I actually got threatened by Getty Images before. For chunk.ie for the website I had, because I'd used an image of a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
And the solicitor, the lawyers for Dana White, who owns the UFC and like owns everything there.
Yeah.
And Getty Images came after me, like me personally, not like Chunk Entertainment Limited, the company behind the website, like me personally. And I'd used the image, and the day after it had been published, was when this thing came through. So like, they'd obviously been using some kind of software to track the use of their images or whatever. I didn't know anything about that. I wasn't malicious in using their image. I was covering a review and a preview of one of the pay-per-view events. So I was like, this is, you know, surely it should be on fair use if I'm promoting their event. But they didn't see it like that. So because I'd used it for 24 hours, they wanted $75,000.
God.
And I was like, even if I had the $75,000, I still would have stonewalled them the way I did. I was like, you're not getting $75,000 out of me. I think I am.
Like, have you read the name of the title of the website? It's like, nah, I'll just take it down.
Yeah, so remember, the guy who was running the site at the time was like, oh, fuck. I was like, don't worry about it, it's fine. They're not getting $75,000 out of me. Or you, or anybody. It's fucking ridiculous. And they just stopped after a while. But like $75,000 for a picture.
Man, it's mad. I thought
like Getty use images, of a picture.
I thought Getty Images were like royalty free.
Some of their stuff is. But, you know, like generally, like what amazed me was that even on like some, like there was like a murder thing going on during the pandemic last year. I don't know, it wasn't George Floyd thing. But whatever it was, there was like some footage or picture from social media had then been acquired by Getty Images. So moments after it actually happened, the image was on the news being used and it had a Getty Images watermark on it. Like there, it's crazy, it's fucking scary how quick they just gobble up images.
Wow.
But no, like it's big money, especially if you use one of their images like I did. Now I get that I broke the copyright, right? I get that I stole somebody's thing, but it wasn't malicious at the time. I didn't understand it. I was like, you know, I'm promoting an event. I'll use one of their images. They won't mind because I'm promoting one of their events.
Yeah.
But like when they come after you, it's like, you know, no, this is what it's going to cost. Now, if I'd have signed up to a Getty Images subscription for whatever amount of money a month or a year or whatever, I could have used whatever amount of images I wanted.
Yeah.
But because I didn't, and they saw me as a thief, they were like, we're going to make an example of you, $75,000.
Jesus. Jesus.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Fuck them, man.
So I'm going to put up a UFC image all over our website just to break up the monotony of the week.
You know? Who put this up? Adam Lynch. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, Adam Lynch, who lives in a shoe.
What shoe? Where's shoe? Somewhere over there.
Yeah. So happy out. 129.99 for a year.
Okay.
You also get little cards printed out that say happy out on it. So if you're ever kind of, you know what you can use them for? When you're in a restaurant, whenever they open up again, and you're just give a mouthful of food and the waiter comes over and says, how is everything? You can just hand them a card and say happy out.
Brilliant.
So you don't have to talk, with a mouthful of food.
Lovely. That's some good thinking.
Yeah. It's $22.99 for 1 month. So that works out cheap for the year, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Like, you got to do your maths there, son. Like, it's a massive difference.
Oh, but that's what
you're basically saying. It's like, it's a million quid a month, yeah. Or it's $5,000 for the year. It's like, mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'll do $5,000 for the year.
Exactly.
Man, I wouldn't worry about it. No one's going to be buying that stuff.
Oh, I hope at least just one person does. And then I can be like, look what you said. You said nobody would buy it. And look, I bought it.
I did it. Are you out of pocket now? Yes. Nah. I got a box of cards here that say happy out. How many buy cards?
Massively out of pocket because I bought 11 months instead of just 12. So now I'm fucked.
You know, I'm saving money for Christmas, you know? It's like, holy fuck, Jesus.
Let's do a show.
Okay. Here we go.
Weekly Weird Beats. Why don't we do this?
Sorry. I was about to do the titles again. Here we go.
Here we go.
News. That's it. That's all we need.
Now, I heard a story years ago.
Yes.
I don't really know how 100% true it is, but I told a story recently as well, is that there was once two ambulance drivers working in Dublin, right?
Mm-hmm.
They may or may not have been working for Dublin Fire Brigade, I can neither confirm nor deny. Let's just call them two ambulance men.
Okay.
Who responded to a car crash. And they turned up. And unfortunately, the driver of the car was dead on site. He was pronounced dead at the site. The paramedics were just going to bring the body to the hospital.
Okay.
They got to the hospital. And then whatever happened, it was like, no, you don't bring him here. You bring him to the morgue. Wherever the morgue is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, while this was happening, the family of the victim of the deceased were parked behind the ambulance that still contained the deceased's body. Okay?
Yeah.
So, they come back out and they go, listen, Freya, sorry, but we got to go to the morgue, so you want to follow us over there, or whatever, right? So they get back into the ambulance and they go to pull away. The doors of the ambulance at the back open up, and the trolley containing the body falls out and lands on the bonnet of the family behind the ambulance.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
All right. Now, I don't know how true all of this is, but I can definitely imagine something like this happening.
Oh, God.
Do you know what happened to the two paramedics who failed to secure that trolley properly?
What?
2 weeks off with pay.
Jesus.
You can't get sacked from a civil servant job in this country. Literally, if you throw a dead body out of an ambulance onto the car of the family who are following their dead relative around, you still can't get sacked. Of course, accidents happen. You can't say accidents happen, and surely they didn't mean to do that.
No, I'm sure he did not want that to happen at all.
But still, we both know that if I had made that mistake, I would no longer be an ambulance driver.
Yeah.
Which brings me to one of today's stories. Because when I saw this, it reminded me of the story that I just told.
Okay.
Elderly woman is taken to the wrong house by an ambulance and tucked up in a stranger's bed. So.
That is just so weird. I think it's the aftermath I'm thinking of. It's the waking up and kind of going, all right. Hello. What? You lost. Yeah. How the fuck did you get in here?
I just woke up here. Elizabeth Mahoney, who was 89, had been recovering from COVID at a county hospital in Pontypool for 10 long weeks, and her family were relieved to hear she'd finally been given a discharge date of Friday, March 12th. But they began to get concerned when she failed to show up at her home in nearby New Inn at the scheduled time. It was only after a few hours that it transpired she had instead been taken by ambulance to an address in Newport, more than 8 miles away from where she lived, and left in the bed of a total stranger.
God.
The whole thing was a catalogue of errors from start to finish, said her son Brian. We'd originally been called at about 1 p.m. on that day and told Mum was on her way home, so my wife went over to greet her. About an hour later, I rang to see what was happening and was told she hadn't turned up. She had suffered a stroke not so long ago, so naturally we were concerned something bad had happened to her. I eventually got a call saying she'd been taken to a house in Newport, but the details were a bit sketchy.
I'm sure they were.
What'd you put
the old woman? Huh? The old woman, remember the thing? Huh? You had one job today.
The old woman.
Remember the old woman? COVID? Stroke? Yeah. Where did you leave her? Huh? Oh, Jesus.
Which lady with the strokes and the COVID?
The only one you had today. Just down the road. You mean 12 miles down the road? No. What do you mean 12? Where did she go? Huh? Oh.
So, they finally got in touch with somebody who they apologised and said they were on their way to pick her back up. And the son was just like, what do you mean? Please don't tell me you left her there. At which point, the sister burst into tears and we were all worried sick. Brian said while he was still awaiting an official explanation, he believed his mum's details were confused with those of a female patient with dementia who was also due to go home from the hospital on the same day. So it was a mix-up. Yeah. It's an unfortunate mix-up. But again, these things, you know, I hate saying these things happen, but when they happen, you kind of just have to go, listen, nobody wanted this to happen. So why don't we just... You know, I understand the emotion of it. Why don't we all just calm the fuck down and get it sorted out? Right?
Yeah.
It's like you've got all family members who start bawling and crying and screaming and whinging and going, that doesn't bring anything to the solution at all.
I just love you were one of the lads that lived the person. I say, what are you doing? I'm crying because I thought something happened. Look, everyone just shut your holes or just get it out of your system and we'll sort it. Jeez,
I mean,
fucking, I know. Anxious.
I've never once actually had the opportunity to slap a hysterical person, but I can't wait till it presents itself.
Like a 1950s action man.
Yeah,
calm yourself, woman.
Yeah,
she's hysterical.
Her hands that's like fucking kung fu grip.
Jesus, what?
That's what action men did.
Oh yeah.
So, as far as we can tell, Mum was taken to this other lady's house by mistake, and somehow, whoever answered the door told the ambulance staff to just take her into the bedroom and make her comfortable. So, wherever she arrived, just like, oh, yeah, we're expecting her, just stick her in the corner. Didn't even bother looking. How they failed to notice it wasn't their relative... I can't say, but apparently they went to check on her a little while later, and that's when the penny finally dropped and the alarm was raised. So this other family took in somebody who they thought was their dementia-suffering relative.
Yes.
But didn't go to check on them until sometime after they'd arrived into the house.
Jesus, you always sign for the package. Always.
Always sign for the package. Even if it's just an X.
Just... Check your fucking delivery, son. Count your tomatoes.
don't know. It's just. Let's see. She's a very quiet woman. It's all like, you know, it's all like, oh my God, she's very upset. Yeah, I mean, yeah, she's upset, but also, you know, did she not speak up herself and say, this is not my house?
Maybe she was like, kind
of. I mean, there's an awful. I mean, you know, I do have a little bit of sympathy, you know, just like because they're old and, you know, they were sick and, you know, but then that, I think that sounds a bit condescending, you know, like the dementia patient.
Yes.
Doesn't even come into this because it's the dementia patient's family who should have been like, hang on a minute, that's not our one.
Yeah. Right.
And then, you know, the one who was the real one who was going into the house should have been like, I don't know these people.
Well, maybe, like I did say, she had a stroke. Maybe she wasn't, didn't have the full faculties either of speech, or maybe he wasn't.
Look, even Hector Salamanca in Breaking Bad just rang a bell, right?
You won't just go ding, 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 ding. Yeah, you ring that bell, love. You're happy to be home.
I just, you know, a little bit of stuff into perspective as well. Like, how many times did a customer complain in a restaurant over something trivial?
Oh,
like, over something, like, completely fucking, like, I remember I took a complaint once that we didn't have the right brand of water on the table. I'm like, really?
Oh, I don't
really?
I hate it in those days.
Just the Mensa patients just being dropped off by paper boys just flinging them at fucking porches, and you're giving out about the wrong brand being on your fucking table.
Sorry, I just get this image of, hang on, here comes your door, we're going to take the turn really quickly and just chuck you out around, you know, brace yourself, tuck and roll, granny, tuck and roll, close enough.
And then the receiving party doesn't even check.
I find that the weird thing.
Like, they're expecting a delivery of, you know, somebody with dementia who is, let's face it, you know, at risk of being a wombling womble, you know, just wandering out there in the world.
Yeah.
They don't even go and check on her.
Yeah, that I think that's actually the worst part of the story. It's like, it should have been caught then. Kind of going, that's not our gran. Huh? Sorry, I know I keep going back to the, huh? We drive the van. Yeah, I know you drive the van. That's not our gran. That rhymes. Yeah, good man. Yeah. Get her to somewhere else.
It also reminds me of, because we mentioned briefly that I've moved house. So I've moved and I had to do the whole thing of changing companies and changing addresses and get, you know, broadband stopped in one place and getting it picked up in another place. And that is just mad. But I had to get a new router delivered. I was like, why do I need a new router? I've got a router. And they were like, no, we'll send you a new one. Send us back the old one. I'm like, that makes no sense. But whatever. And so the UPS guy rang and he was like, have your router. I was like, I'm not even living there yet. I just thought I was being organized and getting ahead of the game, so they've sent you out a week early before me. And he was like, don't worry about it, I'll just deliver it to the petrol station. Just go in and see Mary in behind the counter, she'll give you your package. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay. But that was a router.
Up Sarah Hill.
Yeah.
That's mad.
But that was a router, so it didn't matter. Plus, it wasn't my property, I hadn't signed for it. Yeah. You know, and I already had a router, so I didn't really need that one. So it's all inconsequential. But this was a person.
It is. It's weird.
You know, actually, do you know what actually shocked me as well to find out? Was that a lot of operations, I don't want to scare anybody who might be listening to this in a hospital bed, but do you know how many operations are fucked up because the surgeon operates on the wrong area or the wrong thing?
Well, I've heard horror stories of, you know, the wrong testicle or the wrong leg being removed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or like, I remember one story of like a guy that went in for like a vasectomy, but he had a testicle removed. Because his file was mixed up with somebody who was actually supposed to get a testicle removed for testicular cancer, and the surgeon just went in and went, snip, here you go. So the guy with cancer still had cancer, and the guy that just wanted to get a vasectomy only had one ball left.
Oh.
And it was just this clusterfuck of, like, you know, files just being mixed up. Which is why whenever you go to hospital, which I noticed last time I was there, was that they print out your name with all your details on it on like a big sheet of stickers.
Yeah,
and every time you come into contact with anything, a sheet of paper, a door, a fucking sample cup. If you go to the vending machine, they put a fucking sticker on it. It was like, yeah, like Matt was here. There you go. It's just like,
even every time,
just to stop all that.
Every time, cause like when I give my blood, there's a page of my stickers, and mm-hmm. I'd say they check around like three times. They go,
yeah,
is that you? And I check the name, the date, and all that kind of stuff. They go, yeah, that's me. You know it's me. So like, and I'm kind of wondering, why do they do all these checks? I mean, they know. I was like,
yeah,
oh, because mistakes are made and they're only human.
Look, mistakes do happen, and you know, but I don't know. I just think it's bizarre. Like, I mean, you can understand, like you can understand that they like when something happens medically, you know, mm-hmm. like a mistake happens. Well, that's just somebody's health. It could be their life. It could be their, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like in the case that the case that I was just talking about, like that's, you've let somebody out into the world again who thinks that, you know, they've had their operation to remove their cancerous testicle and they haven't.
Yeah.
And then somebody who came in for a vasectomy was like, well, I kind of got a half of a vasectomy, but also I didn't. You know. Anyway, if you're listening in a hospital bed and you're about to come in for an operation, I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's very rare.
Very rare. It's, look, happens though, doesn't it?
It does. Let's not scare our listeners. Let's move on.
No. But if you've ever had an operation,
yeah,
right? And I had a few when I was younger. But if you've ever had an operation, and suddenly, like, you know, you find yourself walking through like an airport security scanner, and you're like, why is that beeping? It didn't beep last time. Maybe something was left inside you.
Ah, oh, Jesus.
You know, that's all I'll say. So, next story.
Wow.
Monk has chopped off his own head for good luck in the afterlife.
I don't understand the. I suppose it's already in the headline. Because I got to say, why did he chop his head off? For good luck in the afterlife. Why didn't you just have a good life here?
You know, afterlife is supposed to be amazing.
I believe,
all religions seem to say that the afterlife is amazing. I mean, is Christianity the only one that has like a bad afterlife? Where it's like, if you don't do good, you go to this one. I know karma is like, you know, reincarnation is like you come back as something less desirable if you're a less desirable person, I think.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
It's just the idea of coming back, I think, is hell.
Yeah.
But you got it fucking hated, like.
It's great to be alive, though, isn't it?
Look, it's lovely now. I'm, by all accounts, I'm enjoying life. But to do it all again, with no memory, or like no kind of like.
Oh, no, if I was going to do it again, I'd have to go in like jacked into the Matrix. I'd have to know what was going on.
You know what I mean? I'm not learning how to walk and talk and like going through exams again and all that. I was like, not at all.
I'm not going through childhood and puberty again.
No.
Just drop me in when I'm 35. That'll do me.
I'll go in my 20s again. Why not?
No, fuck 20s. Jesus Christ, the amount of money I spent on coke and strippers and fucking weed in my 20s. I don't, no.
But if you knew. Like if you went in armed, no one thinks you'd probably go, look, I'm not going to do that mistake again.
I don't know. I kind of liked it. I think I'd just be like, oh, fuck,
I'm pretty glad.
No, I just enjoy it for a little time. I just enjoy it for a little minute, and then I get straight back to work. And then I'd fart, and 10 years would be gone again. You know.
What happened? What happened? It's like you're reincarnated. Oh God, not again.
I don't. Does you know? I sometimes fight against it, but there's some very solid reasons why people think I'm the man to go to for when you want or whatever.
Well, yeah. Well, you kind of made, like, as I learned it very quickly. It's like, and I suppose, yeah, I'll blame Brian Phillips a bit for it as well. Because I don't know why, but I met yourself and Brian kind of the same time. But I know. I think I just got to know Brian more for some reason. I don't know. Maybe you're working more. And we just saw Brian more. But But he would describe it as that. It's like, what do you need? What? Matt will get it for you. What? what's Matt's deal?
Yeah. Like I don't know what I was watching, a video or a movie or whatever, and one character asked another character, "So what do you do for a living?" And they were like, "Oh yeah, a little bit of this, a little bit of that." And I was like, "Oh fuck, I'm that guy." And that guy, because I can't tell anybody what I do, and I don't know what it is I do. And yet, I've managed to survive this long. So I actually surmised the other night that if I just keep doing what I'm doing for another 25 years, I'll just be in pension age, and then the state will have to look after me then.
I'm loving this. I'm just loving this. And then I'm the state's problem. I can't wait for that.
I really can't.
God, we've got a whole, like, another lifetime ahead of us.
I fucking hope not.
You know, like, another generation to go before, like, we were getting, like... I know. Some things to look forward to.
Anyway, look, this dude.
Yeah, tell us about him.
Right. Monk chops off his own head for good luck in the afterlife. I'm going to try and pronounce his name.
Okay.
Right. Tamakorn... Wang Preacher.
Oh, he's Tamakorn
Wang Preacher. He was 68, right? And he'd been planning this for 5 years. Like, there's a whole ritual behind it, so he was planning it for 5 years.
Right.
A Buddhist monk in Thailand reportedly cut off his own head with a guillotine.
Guillotine.
Oh, baguette. In the hope that it would lead to being reincarnated as a higher spiritual being. Tamakorn Wang Preacher, 68, nailed it, had been planning the ritual for nearly 5 years and constructed the homemade decapitation instrument next to a religious statue in his temple. So, that's all I can read about it, because the rest is behind a fucking paywall. Thanks very much, independent.co.uk.
Wow.
But,
I think, like I said, it's all in the headline. Because we can't ask him about it. You can't ask him, like, did it work? How'd that work out for you? But he, like, having your own guillotine. I wonder, was there a point when he was building it, did he look at it and kind of go, like, you know, chopping melons or whatever, and just kind of go, nah, it's class. And you, but what also, you doing that? Chopping your head off. Yeah. Like, and on the day.
Was, like a Buddhist monk, aren't they, like, trained for, like, you know, what's the term? What's the phrase? Self-control. I don't have any of that. So I was like, what's that phrase again? But if he was that dedicated and if he believed in it that much, would he not have just, like, starved himself and, like you know, like, not eaten until he died? It seems like, you know, he spent an awful lot of time planning the easiest way out possible.
Well, like I say, if it took him five years, maybe there was a whole build-up to the thing. Maybe he did fast for, like, 2 months. Maybe there was a whole, like, pain and suffering kind of lead up, and then this quick end was actually a release of that pain and suffering, and that's why it's supposed to work.
All right, fuck me.
Next story.
No, I wanted to ask you a question. If you were given a guarantee, like if you had proof that if you did something terrible in this life, that you would have an awesome afterlife, would you do it? Because he obviously believed so much that it just became true for him, which is why he did it.
Yeah.
You know, like, if he wanted to kill himself, I'm sure he just would have killed himself. But this was a ritual. This was a belief. This was something that he was like, you know, this was true for him. Like, he believed this to actually, this was going to be the case. So, like, if that was the case for you, like, if I came to you, because you wouldn't believe me if I told you, but let's say, you know, a really clever person,
okay,
came, right, like a more reliable source,
okay,
which that hurts myself even for myself to say that about myself.
That's okay.
Ouch. A reliable source comes to you and is like, Adam, when you die, right, get twins, and they both look like Scarlett Johansson.
Uh-huh.
They do everything. They do everything. They do. In fact, it's rude if you don't do everything.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, all you got to do, right? All you got to do is kill yourself in front of your family.
Like quickly.
Any way you see fit.
It has to be a gun. Like, it has to be quick.
But you went there really quick. Like, you didn't even go, no, no, I couldn't do it to my family. You were like, yeah, give me a gun.
No, no,
give me a gun and line them up against the wall for me.
Like, I'm thinking more so of the method. It's like, I can't just, like, drain myself of blood and just kind of go, here I go.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Now, also, like included in that would also be the guarantee that your family had their version of whatever their heaven was.
That's what you think my heaven is.
I don't know. What is your version of heaven? If it doesn't include some of the denominators I have in there, I'd be very disappointed in you.
No, no, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah,
and I can fly.
You're like, look, I like your twin idea. It's a nice foundation we'll build from it. I can fly. And right. I've got a massive dick and all the money, and I'm a movie star. And yeah.
That'll do.
That'll do for now. That'll be starter.
But then again, at the end, I probably wouldn't.
If it was a guarantee that you and everyone that you had to kill in order for it to happen would also have, like, eternal paradise.
Wait, I have to kill people?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought I just had to kill myself.
I know, I've upped the ante. I mean, see, you keep adding stuff onto us, so I'm just like, fuck it, let's go for it.
No, you're moving the goalposts, son.
You gotta kill everybody, fuck your dog.
Oh, man, I think that'd be the hardest part.
Yeah, but once you do it, man, once you do it, like it's a means to an end. That's the way to look at it, isn't it? That's the way this guy obviously looked at it. It's like he's going to kill himself with this big ritual, and then he's going to have everlasting paradise. It's a good deal to me. If you believe it that much, it's obviously a good deal, because then it's you know.
I suppose you just have to be a believer of that kind of stuff. Mm. You'd have to be. Believe,
because I've been watching a lot of stuff about cults lately, and I watched a documentary about Heaven's Gate.
Yeah,
and it was like they weren't like nasty people, and it wasn't like a violent nasty cult, and you didn't have to donate, you know, your life savings, and you could come and go as you please kind of thing. But it was just like they believed so rigidly that, you know, they were going to another dimension or another life or whatever. And it was nothing to them to just kill themselves, because they believed so, like, to them it was true. It was going to happen. It was as sure as, you know, tomorrow morning is going to come and tomorrow night is going to come. It was as sure as that was going to happen, that they were going to go to the next life. And yeah, I mean, if somebody had me convinced of something so readily, I'd be like, yeah, maybe.
Well, I guess that's it. If like all these cults and the way, I'll say brainwashing, but if they're just convinced to act a certain way and to behave a certain way, and that you will receive these kind of rewards for doing that kind of stuff, then I guess I probably would. But in the end, I suppose I'd like to think that I'd be mentally strong enough to not kind of go, what salvation are you giving me? And just kind of like shop around for like the best salvation, you know what I mean? Because if someone's promising one thing, I go, oh yeah, and I hear that another guy is promising another thing, I'm kind of going, I like his idea better. I'm kind of going, and yeah, I'm kind of like, what am I doing? I'm putting someone's idea of an afterlife against someone else's, and really they're all stupid.
Yeah. I think it speaks to I think everyone just wants, like, and I don't want to get very deep on it, really. But everybody wants something to hope for.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, you know, you have a job, you hope for your promotion. You know, if you have a small part in the movie, you hope for a bigger part in the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you have, you know, And I see it like in it's an everyday life. You know what I mean? Like if you're overweight, then you hope that this next diet fad is going to be doing the worst for you.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to quit smoking, you hope that this gum will do it or this book will do it. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, people always hope for something. So if something is promised to you, or if you believe something so much, you know. Like, I remember I was in Slimming World years ago, and there was one woman in that, and she believed so much that Slimming World was the way to go. She'd been there 4 years and lost 20 pounds. And to lose any amount of weight over 4 years is an achievement, right? Yeah. I think it still should be encouraged and it should be supported, but there's a very, very small amount to lose in that amount of time. Yeah. For a program that promises so much.
Yeah.
She was there every week, and it became her thing because, you know, they kept telling her, no, stick on plan, and, you know, you cook go up, you cook go down, and everybody's different, but we'll find a plan that's right for you. So there's always that hope there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So if this monk has shed himself of all material wants and all creature comforts, and the next thing that he thinks is going to be, you know, the only thing that he can imagine would be better for himself, mm-hmm. would be to have a better, you know, to be a higher spiritual being. I can see that as being motivation enough for him to go, right, okay, let's do it.
Yeah. I suppose it's just like any religion. It's like if you believe the backstory and the build up and all that kind of stuff, then you will do what you think is right.
But it's
to get the ultimate goal.
And it is what you think is right, but it's, I don't think it's even religion. I think it's any belief. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, what, like, I don't know, like the whole race thing in America now, it always keeps getting brought back to slavery. But if you take slavery into it, it's, what was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say.
I think you were a good one.
I was on a roll. But, it's like, so slavery. So you had people in America who believed that slavery is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you still, on the other side, you have people who just as honestly believed that they had a right to own another human being.
Yeah.
To the point where all these people were prepared to go to war and fight and die for it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's not religion. That's just I believe I'm allowed to own that person, or I believe you're not allowed to own that person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Hitler and the Jews. He believed that the world would be better off without the Jews in it. You know, they nearly fucking succeeded as well. You know what I mean? And that was, you know, okay, you can say that was down to religion, but it was, you know, it was his belief that, you know, made him go forward.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, and also, just bringing it back to the monk, if he's killing himself to try and become a higher spiritual being and not trying to convince anybody else to kill themselves, I don't really see the harm in it.
No.
Like, if he believes he's doing it for a higher reason and he hasn't harmed anybody else, and let's face it, he's constructed a device that's going to make it pretty easy to do. You know, and what I'm assuming, you know, you just have two pieces to pick up. You know, the body and the head.
Well, I'd like to think that the head would just do a basket. You know.
Look, I mean, it's not as if you can rehearse something like this, is it? There's no tech rehearsal. Floor manager going, over another inch.
Well, I'd say there probably would. I'd say there's like I was saying, there's probably a watermelon kind of test. It's like, it's a boom. All right, good.
But I think it's mad, like what people will do for a belief. You know, they'll literally hate another human being. Yeah. That doesn't believe the same thing they believe.
It's a weird, weird thing.
It's mad because, like, I've no problem with people thinking the world is flat. Do you know what I mean? Because, I believe they're wrong. They believe I'm wrong. But I'm not going to go out and I'm not going to, you know, persecute somebody over it or, you know, treat them differently. I probably won't have a very intelligent conversation with them if we're at a dinner table. But still.
I think we've always had a problem with people who just push their agenda on.
Yeah.
That's always been the irk.
That's bad crack. That's shit crack. That's bad out. That's what that is. Bringing it back.
Hashtag bring it back. Bad out.
Lastly, but not leastly, a Canadian man has tried to dodge curfew by walking another man on a leash.
Now, is the other man... He went, do you know what will get us out of curfew? If I'm your dog. What? Dude, that'd be awesome. Would you be with, I'll be your dog.
Do you remember that dog. Kiara ad?
Fucking loved it, man.
So racist. I'd love to see them bring that back with just like a disclaimer of, these were different times. Yeah, I'd just love them to bring that back. They should at least bring back the audio for like a radio jingle, you know? Because it's just the cartoon that was horribly racist.
It was awful. Yeah. When you look back and you're going, because like as kids, you'd sing along with it. And you go, yeah, it's a kid.
We all did. Because it was played in every single ad break when we used to actually sit down and watch a TV.
Yeah. It was on all the time. Just kind of going, yeah. Kiara, gives a bit.
I'll be your dog. Well, let's find out what the story is. Yeah. Canadian police have fined a woman who's...
You didn't say a story.
Okay. I find a woman whose dogged determination to dodge a strict new curfew saw her taking a man for a walk. So, a woman or a man? Canadian woman. Okay, so Canadian woman takes a man for a walk on a leash.
Okay.
There's more than one woman listening to this who's going, yeah, that should be the way it should be all the time, but slow your roll there, sweetheart. Right? Men are talking.
I don't even know the sweetheart. So you're all there, love. Put the kettle on. Yeah, when you're finished, clean up.
And fucking here's hell. A virtual pinch on your bum as well. Right?
God, give me all the yak.
Quebec province has imposed an 8 p.m. curfew in a bid to slow the spread of the coronavirus, but residents are allowed to take dogs for a walk close to home.
Surely when they were found gone, was this? This is my dog. And also my husband.
Well, you know.
Well, do you know that kind of sexual fetish? I don't want to say Furby. Is it a furry?
Furry. Well, you see, the furries are people that like fully dress up as animals.
Yeah. Do they want to be treated as, like, if you brought a furry for a walk? This is my dog.
I don't know. Actually, it's one of the things we're looking into on Tickle Kink podcast coming soon on the Newsburb Network.
Sweet. I just want to. I think because leading down the whole identifying as, like, who's this? This is my dog, Benji. No, it's not. That's Malcolm, no, your husband. No. Right now, for the next 2 hours, he identifies as a dog called Benji.
Yeah.
Are you going to say he's not? What, are you serious? And I've taken for his walk now, and he's going to shit in the garden, and I'm going to pick it up.
All right. Well, do you know what I'd do now if I was the copper that caught her?
Oh.
I'd be like, grand. You've got 10 days to produce a license and a vaccination card for your pooch.
Yeah.
All right. And I also want to see his microchip number. Just give him the full workup. And also, has he been neutered? Does he need a muzzle?
Oh, yeah.
Police in Sherbrooke, about 150 kilometres east of Montreal on Saturday, stopped a woman who was walking with a man on a leash. When they confronted her, she replied with a straight face that she was walking her dog. Sherbrooke Police spokeswoman Isabelle Gendron said police believed the woman was testing us, but she was fined $1,500 Canadian, which is lots of dollars.
I guess so.
So, I understand people just want, like, if it's bad enough being in a lockdown without having a curfew on there as well, because, like, at least with, like, because we're coming out of, like, the kind of serious restrictions now, where it's like, yeah, they've lifted the 5K rule. But at least there wasn't a curfew. So if you wanted to go for your 5K walk, you could do it at night time if you wanted to, when there was less people out.
Yes.
You know? But I imagine it would be terrible with a lockdown and a curfew. So I understand people, you know, being like, come on, we'll chance it. You know, maybe the police will think it's funny. But also, there's restrictions in, so, you know.
Come on.
Make a TikTok video about it. Don't actually put it into practice.
Fucking I start watching TikTok again.
Everybody does.
And it's the same thing. I've noticed the same, like, dance trends, yeah, same kind of videos. I'm like, but it's, I think it's just actually got more angrier. Saying, I was banned from TikTok because one of you guys complained that I was showing off my titties. It's like, you are. You're always doing it because you want us to send you money.
Yeah. I don't have a problem. I'm going to say this about TikTok, right? I don't spend as much time on TikTok as I used to, but I understand how very, very possible it is to just sit there and scroll and literally just have the sun rise and set behind you in the distance. It can be very easily done, but I don't care what people do on TikTok. If their goal is to become a TikToker and become famous and earn money from it, be an influencer, that's fine.
Yeah.
Also, if they're just, you know, the housewife who's just killing time because you know, there's nothing to do in the lockdown, that's fine too.
Yeah.
However, don't twerk around the place with the air conditioning whacked up with no bra on and then complain that men keep sliding into your DMs. And then when you put a bra on and whack the heating up and then they stop sliding into your DMs, giving out about that as well. I'm like, pick a lane. Yeah. Stay in it.
It's like, I know men come out here and they're just objectifying women. You don't say anything. You don't do anything. You just look in the camera and flick your hair. I'm not looking at your personality there. You're just pushing things in my face. It's like, if you don't like it, just move on. All right, I will.
Yeah, and it's twerk challenges, and it's just like, you know what? And there's a few of them there who are like, you know, I'm a woman and I have hairy armpits. I'm like, so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the hill you want to die on. Don't shave your pits. I don't care. Maybe don't shave your pits.
But it's just like, what do you think of that? What do you think of that? Like and subscribe if you want to.
everyone's looking for a reaction. Everyone's looking for a fight. I think it's just what it is. But yeah, curfew. So there we go. I've talked for ages now. So I'm going to shut up and let you talk.
Thanks. So I have... Well, you might actually like this one.
Oh, yeah.
A teenager was given an old phone and traded up for a Porsche.
Yes, I know about this. Was this was like a social media person was like trying to trade up from? Because I see these challenges every now and again where somebody will go, I have a cigarette lighter. I'm going to see if I can trade up to a house. Like and follow.
I'm guessing they got the idea from this guy. Because this guy, I'll show you. A teenager who started out with an old mobile phone ended up with a convertible Porsche after using a reselling site to make clever trades. So Stephen Ortiz from California was 15 years old when he was given an old phone by a friend. After 2 years and a series of 14 clever swaps, he ended up with a 2000 Porsche Boxster S. He used Craigslist to trade with others and get a load of unwanted items in return for his. It wasn't an overnight thing, though. Stephen put the graft in, spending 5 to 6 hours each day scouring the website for swaps. When his friend gave him the old phone, he traded in for a slightly better phone, which he then traded for an iPod Touch. He then traded that for a few dirt bikes, then a MacBook Pro, and then finally a 1987 Toyota 4Runner. But he was just 15, so soon swapped that for an off-road golf cart. So then a more valuable dirt bike, a street bike, and a series of cars. Eventually he ended up with the 1974 Ford Bronco. Thanks to the Bronco, he backed himself the Porsche. He said that some older Broncos are collectible, so he estimated it's worth $15,000. For the Bronco, he was offered all sorts, including a locksmith business, but he ended up with the Porsche, which was actually a trade down at $9,000. Stephen's father, Esteban, explained why it works. He said, a lot of people don't have money right now in this economy, so they think, I really need a new phone, but I don't have the money. Here I have this CD player lying around and I don't use anymore. Maybe I can trade. Because items have different values to different people, it means that he can sometimes trade things that are worth less monetarily for objectively higher value items. For example, Stephen sold his 4Runner for a MacBook because the man who had it really needed a computer for his band but didn't need the car. Mm-hmm. Stephen says, people just make these trades. I'm not lying to anyone. So I just thought...
Well, I did like that because... not to take it back to me all the time, but like we spoke off air about how we're moving house, so like I've literally used the barter system to get myself from one house to another.
Yes.
I had a lot of furniture to get rid of, and it just like the new place was fully furnished, plus it wasn't practical furniture to have in the new space. So I had a choice. I could get rid of it, I could donate it, or I could try and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those were options. But it was coming down to it, and I literally, as we've spoken about in the last Patreon, like the expense of moving, and I'm not working at the moment, so I didn't have money to spend on stuff that I really, you know, I could have avoided.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could have, you know, people listening probably going, you know, well, just hire movers. I'm like, yeah, I didn't have money for movers. I didn't have money to hire a van. Like, I was, you know, I'd actually contacted Brian, a friend of ours, to see if I could get, you know, a freebie or a discount on one of his Mercedes vans. You know, nice. Like I was trying to think practically about it, you know, but at the same time, not rip anybody off or look for, you know, a freebie or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So Fiona actually gave me a thing on Facebook on Blessington, Man with a Van. And he had a furniture shop as well. So I was like, listen, if you just take the furniture, you can sell it. I don't want anything for it. Just take the furniture, right? So he came over, he took the furniture, and then I gave him an extra piece of furniture. It was like this big solid wood unit thing. I don't even know how to describe it. I call it a sideboard. I was like, do you want this? And he was like, I can't afford to buy this off. He was like, take it and just deliver this bed somewhere for me. And then the rest of the furniture is yours. Sell it and do whatever you want with it. And he was like, grand, no problem. So I bartered my way out of all of that expense. Now, he's going to profit from that a lot more because he's going to sell that furniture down the line for more money than I would have been able to get for it.
Yeah.
But I didn't care because I needed to get this house empty.
Yeah. And you got your job done, pretty much.
I got the job done that I needed to get done, and the other guy was happy with his end of it as well. And you know what? I've done a few more deals like that over the last week or so, just to get myself from one place to another because, you know, I suppose I am the guy that kind of knows people or knows how to get stuff done, but it's just like I didn't have a choice. I had no money and I still needed to get stuff done. So I had to prioritize what do I need versus what do I want.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. I've huge respect for that young fella. And I've seen other stories where people have gone from like literally like a book of matches. This guy had a book of matches that I think was used on the set of Goodfellas or something as like a prop. And he traded that up to a house. Like to a house. Now it took, I think it was like 17 or 18 trades over a length of time, but he had this prop that he just picked up somewhere and it was verified and it was all that kind of stuff. And you know, but it was like 17 trades a couple of years later, he was brand new house, no mortgage, traded up. I think if people started applying actual value to things, you know, or to themselves or their services or to what they need versus what they want. Like, I know capitalism, consumerism, that's what's driving the world or whatever, but it's like, yeah, you can spend money on shit, but like you don't need it.
Yeah.
Like I've thrown out so much stuff with this move. I'm just like, that's been sitting there for 2 years that I haven't touched. Why am I having the effort, the time and the expense and the anxiety of carrying it with me to another place though I'm not going to use it?
Yeah.
Just like, just get rid of it. And if somebody wants it and can benefit from it and are willing to do me a favor in order in exchange for that, and like no money crossed hands at all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just like, I need this done. Can you do this for me? It was like, happy days.
Lovely.
And I think it's a simpler way of going. You know, I think you should value what you need rather than, you know, value what you can get off somebody else monetarily. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the example that he gives there, like, got a MacBook because the guy was thinking, well, I don't need that, I need this.
Yeah.
It does, it comes down to what you need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the richest man in the world, if he's drowning, if he's under the level of the water, will give all his money away just to get above the rim of the mm-hmm. level of the water.
So
what you need. John Cleese.
Well, just before we go on to John Cleese, I'm just looking around to see what I can swap. what else I can swap.
I go, get your glasses.
I have a spare pair of glasses, you want?
No.
I'll swap you the glasses for your hips.
What? Jesus.
I'm going for the Guinness World Record of fastest trade-up.
Why don't you explain that to Tina? Look, Tina, I got your new pair of glasses. Oh, not my prescription. Okay, we're going to move out in a week. What? Come on.
I wouldn't give you. I'd give it to the end of the month. I'd give you more than a week.
Dick.
Also, I know a guy in Blessing that'll move furniture for cheap. I know, you can eat the furniture there, it's all right.
They're moving in, Fiona. Our stuff's here, so we're moving in. Right, John Cleese apologises in those jokes for offending white people during Monty Python sketches. John Cleese has issued a sarcastic apology to white English people for their parodies he and the rest of the cast did in Monty Python sketches. The iconic comedy troupe did loads of gags in their time and poked fun at British culture without raising much of an issue. However, Cleese seemingly felt obligated to release a statement following Hank Azaria's apology to all Indian people for being the voice of Apu Nazipima Petalon on The Simpsons for years. Writing on Twitter, the 81-year-old comedy legend wrote, "Not wishing to be left behind by Hank Azaria, I would like to apologise on behalf of Monty Python for all the many sketches we did making fun of white English people. We're sorry for any distress we may have caused." Judging from previous statements about cancel culture, it's not hard to see Cleese is taking the piss with his apology. Speaking on 60 Minutes Australia last year, the actor said, "The PC people seem to think that if you make a joke or tease someone, you are degrading or humiliating them, and this is not a complete misunderstanding, or this is a complete misunderstanding." He took particular issue with UK TV, who temporarily removed an episode of his popular TV series Fawlty Towers from its streaming options due to offensive racial reference. I'm guessing the "do not mention the war."
Oh, the German, the goose stepping, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's, you know, John Cleese stepping up and going, cancel culture. Or people just not getting jokes.
Yeah, but it's I can't understand. Like, somebody made a very good point, is that, I don't know which podcast I was listening to, but they brought up the point of comedians, when we were kind of paying attention to comedians, say, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, like, humor then was to be the edgiest, the most shocking. Like, it was, you know, it was shock jock. It was like, you know, Frankie Boyle, Jimmy Carr. You had like the roasts and the comedy roasts in America, where it was like, it was like the most disgusting, the most offensive joke was the one that pushed it. There was a whole documentary done about the joke that comedians tell each other, the Aristocrats.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, it was always to be, the purpose was to be offensive. It was to be, you know, how offensive can you be?
Yeah.
And that was the joke. It was never aimed at anybody. It was just like, what can I say that will get the biggest fuck me reaction off the audience? And today's comedy audience doesn't seem to understand that.
Yeah. I suppose even going back to our dad's generation, where they'd make jokes, like, at the, in the, I suppose, club scene, they'd just make jokes about, saying the words, they would be like the Packies and the Blacks, and just call them all these names. But like, in their stand-up, and then these comedians would go on to TV, like, for the, like, I'm sure they did kind of, you know, ease off a bit.
Yeah.
But I remember, not Des O'Connor, some other O'Connor presenter, I remember saying, when he used to be a stand-up comedian, they go in and say, and on the poster would be, "No jokes about Irish or Blacks." And it's like, what? Because it was kind of like, no, that's just too offensive. And this is the generation that were like, it was all mother-in-law jokes.
Yes, and it's, look, the way, like, humour always evolves, right? Like, I think some comedy is timeless, but I think other comedy dates itself terribly.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when I was a kid, and I mean a kid, I thought Roy Chubby Brown was the funniest thing ever, because he said cunt and said fuck a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I think if I put him on I'd probably cringe in the first 3 minutes and turn it off again.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, that's how, like, audiences evolve and tastes evolve. And I think it's just, when you find something you like, you pursue that. I think that's the generation that we're at. The generation now is like, it's not follow who you like, it's vilify who you don't.
Yeah.
And it becomes, you know, you shouldn't do this. And remember when you did that thing back then? I'm like, yeah, well, I'm pretty sure I probably laughed at a racist Roy Chubby Brown joke, but that doesn't mean I'd do it today.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, it's just, you know, if you don't like that particular kind of humour, don't support it.
Yeah, it'll fade out.
It'll fade out. It will eventually fade out itself. Instead of instead of, like, you know, screaming at them and dragging them through their, you know, press and having them cancelled and having, you know, their lives ruined because you don't agree with what they joked about, is bizarre to me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If you don't, like, the worst thing that a comedian can hear is silence. So, like, if you don't laugh at them, if you don't follow them, they'll either change their humour or they'll just fuck off.
Yeah.
You won't have to do anything else. But, you know, I think cleverly, like, some comedians will stand up to it these days and go, you know what, it's a joke. If you don't understand it, if you don't think it's funny, that's fine, move on.
Yeah.
You know, find a comedian that you do, you know, that you do like.
So, but, what I'm noticing, especially watching comedians, is, like, I get the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that it's not offensive. But people like hear a trigger word and their ears prick up and just go, that's offensive. It's like, no. Especially like Ricky Gervais's stuff is usually like, he's the idiot.
Yeah.
Like he makes a kind of a racist or a sexist remark. Mm-hmm. But he's saying, no. Like I'm the idiot. I know I'm the idiot. What he's saying, yeah, is offensive and stupid. And I'm aware of that. The joke is, the character I'm playing is not aware. Or if he is, he's kind of like, oh, that's not going to go down well. He's naive to the whole thing.
Yeah. Like, but also, you know, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I understand that people are coming at it from the point of view of, so remember when you were a kid and maybe, you know, you got picked on once.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bully was like, it's just a joke. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's not a joke. No, you're being an asshole. There's a difference between having a joke and being an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I've said it before, you know, it's all about context and intent. You know, like, fuck it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not here to write the world. Can't do Adam. Can't do it.
And we tried. But that's me anyway.
Is that you?
That's me. That's some good news.
Yeah, why not?
All right.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the part of the show where we talk about happy and chirpier stuff. There won't be stories about a pervert running around in a buff. So here's just a few things that we won't talk about in this segment. War and hunger and the language won't be vulgar. Politics and naked chicks and men doing stuff with their dicks. So sit back, relax and kick off your shoes. And for once, let's just have some good news.
Yeah, good news time. What do you think of that, son?
I don't know. It's.
Did you say you don't know? I think it's my own urine.
The ratio may have slipped that way. Yeah, it's just the juice. It's just juice.
Lovely.
One of my favourite episodes ever was a fairly recent episode when you described certain products of the feminine nature as quote period stuff unquote.
Yep. And I still call it that.
I know you do, but it still baffles me because, you know, you're in a house full of women. You know what I mean?
Just going to buy some milk, bread and some period stuff.
Anyway, you'll be happy to know, Adam, that now you can get all of your period stuff for free in Lidl.
Ah, yes.
Lidl Ireland has said it will start providing free boxes of sanitary pads or tampons to girls and women as part of a new program targeting period poverty. Now, I'm not a prude. I think we can both agree.
Yes.
And so I'm going to ask you a question, right, rather than make a statement.
Yeah. Okay? Does it have to do with peepees and vajayjays?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, God.
How do they work?
Huh?
How do PPs in the JJ's work?
I have no idea.
Okay. Okay. I don't think we're supposed to know. So it's just double check.
I think it's a mystery of God.
No, I'm not a prude, okay? But why is it that the word period appears so much in this article? Now, that's a silly question, you might think, because the story is about free period stuff.
Yeah.
I shut that they say period a lot. And I'm just not used to seeing it being used so much in text about periods.
It's not an American saying, like, stuff for periods should be free for everyone, period.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's obviously my fucking neuroses. But anyway, from April 19th, women will be able to sign up to receive the monthly coupon, which they can use from May 3rd in 168 stores nationwide, said the retailer. The latest move makes Lidl the first major retail in the world to offer period products in stores, to offer free period products in stores, the company said.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. They're also donating to Simon Communities, which is a homeless charity. So, you know, it's a basic need. It's a basic right, I think, to have some dignity.
Yeah.
With, you know.
Well, we've mentioned this a few times. We said that, like, period stuff and condoms should be just free.
Yeah. Just go in and just pick up what you need. Take it away. But it's a step in the right direction, because I know that this is one of the things that, you know, it's been thrown around social media, which is that, you know, period stuff should be free. And this is the first step. I can imagine that the likes of Aldi will follow suit, because they're never far behind when Lidl make a decision.
Yeah.
Which will mean that Tesco and Dunnes will have to follow suit as well, but Dunnes won't, because they're hungry fuckers. Anyway, I think that's good news.
Someone's had a run-in. I have mountains of garbage in Russia are being turned into fashionable accessories.
No way.
True that. A Russian fashion brand is trying to tackle St. Petersburg's mountains of garbage by creating an entire supply chain out of them. Sifting through the trash mountains, workers collect all kinds of different recyclable materials before turning them into bespoke recycled accessories and school products, pencils, laptops, laptop cases, backpacks, bags, and even skateboards and a bicycle. 19 Recycle utilizes a large 3D printer based on design used by Hyundai, and which used recycled plastic as a raw material. They've collected over 70 tons of reclaimed plastic so far by working with local recycling non-profits that specialize in collecting certain types of materials. Inside the factory, the 3D printer creates shapes and textiles which are sewn together by hand, meaning that each piece is unique. Do I have something else about here? Most of the landfills in Russia are subsequently larger and more poorly maintained than those elsewhere in Europe. One in Moscow is 10 stories tall.
Wow.
Of, like, rubbish. Throwaway culture is strong in Russia, and so along with making products for purchase, 99 Recycle hosts classes and lectures are about sustainability and different ways to recycle, hoping to coach their city of its bad habits. Yeah. Lovely. So, yeah. Just... Look at those sneaky Russians, eh? Just turning your rubbish into, like, bags and shit.
Literally just lifting the rug, sweeping it under.
Yeah. Mad.
That is good news. I think eventually we're all just going to die in an ocean of plastic waste.
I know. I mean, if you want plastic, just go swimming in the ocean.
Yeah. You know. Also, though, plastic's great, though, isn't it? It does everything.
Well, it lasts for ages.
Yeah, really does.
I mean, if you want to get all the plastic together in the ocean and make an island.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst island, like, you're not going to grow anything on it. If anything, it should be a massive raft.
I don't know. I mean, you could probably compost all the dead turtle bodies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
They get wrapped up in it, and the seals and the whales and the dolphins and, you know. Nobody seems to care about all the prawns that are getting... You know, wrapped up in the plastic. It's all the friendly animals, isn't it? It's all the Disney animals.
All the Disneys.
It's the fucking cast of Finding Nemo we care about, not the fucking shellfish who are also getting swept up. No. We don't care about them.
Jesus.
No.
Fucking hell.
Flipper and fucking what's that cunt from The Little Mermaid?
Sebastian the Crab.
Yeah. Not a crab, he's a lobster. And he's Jamaican, which makes no sense.
I think you find he's a crab. It's just the fact that he's a long head. People think he's a lobster. But he doesn't, if you look, he doesn't have the tail of a lobster.
Oh, look at that. You bored me.
Yep. The best place to find is at www.thenewsburp.com. Do you like that?
Thing to say.
So the best way to find us is www.thenewsburp.com. Now I'm going. Where you'll find all the links to our shows, and at the very bottom you'll find links to TeePublic, where you'll find our cartoon faces slapped across merchandise such as t-shirts, hoodies, bags, totes, badges, all that kind of stuff. Check that out. You'll find a link to PayPal if you want to throw us a once-off payment to keep this boat afloat, which would be hugely appreciated. And then of course we have our Patreon, www.patreon.com/newsburp, where if you go on there and give a certain amount of monies, we will give you extra stuff. So it comes with the show earlier, ad-free versions of the show, videos of the show, the Patreon bit, videos of the Patreon. Patreon is like top five, and our Florida Mans. And then of course if you want to get in touch and keep us all going, there's all like likes and shares, and get on to wherever you listen to our podcast and throw a comment down and say these guys are good and give 5-star reviews and thumbs up and all that muck. What do you want to add to that? Oh, shout outs are
Kevin Fagan, Aaron Eldred, Fiona Cleary, Nathan Peterson, Paul Blunson, Sean Ryan, Alexander Henry, Sarah Beck, and Miss Sloan.
Mason Sloan, happy moving week.
Oh, moving week sucks. Balls.
And he has kiddies as well.
Oh, fuck up being there as well. Ah, Jesus fucking Christ, I want to die just thinking about it.
I don't think he wants to hear that. We're just like, good job, buddy.
Oh, you haven't done it yet? Oh,
no,
man,
no, he has done it.
Experience
he has
for
done
the
it.
Whole family.
He's completely done. He's moved in and all happy out.
All right. Well, then he knows the fucking pain.
Yeah. Jesus. He's like, don't do it. And I said, jeez, oh God, this is awful.
Do it. Jesus Christ, I'd rather pass a pineapple in my piss hole.
What fucking hell. Anyone to add?
Yeah, moving sucks balls.
And on that note, bye.
All right. Bye-bye.